Good morning. It's really good to be here, but before I begin, I just need to ask, can everyone hear me? Because I have a little bit of a rasp in my throat this morning, and I just want to make sure that you can, yeah? And I have to say that when I came in, I had this privilege of just spending a few moments in the presence of the Lord, and just asking Him about this church, because that's asking Him about you. And He gave me a wonderful word about it, about you, that you're a church that is full of the sweetness of Christ and the peace of God and the presence of God. And you're also a church in waiting, because there's something wonderful that the Lord wants to do amongst you. Please don't ask me what it is. He hasn't told me, and I'm not going to make something up just to make you feel good about yourselves. But I do know that it is something absolutely wonderful. And just for a hint of it, I have to say, the prayers this morning, it shows the heart of a people who know the Lord, and that is very moving. Those prayers did absolutely what every Christian should be doing, which to exalt and give thanks to the name of the Lord for who He is and what He means to us. There are times, of course, when we have to come and petition, but that in itself shows what an amazing people of God you are, and how much you have to offer not only this town, but also this county and this nation. You'll be making a mark. Watch this space. And I guess I just really have to say one thing to Ivor. He laughed when I said to him and I saw him that you're a good man. But you know, there is something about that you're carrying, Ivor. You have a strong anointing of the Holy Spirit on you. And the Lord, I felt, and please go and talk to Him about this, said for me to tell you that you have the strength of Elijah and you ain't seen nothing yet. Yeah, it's good to be here, and it's good actually to partner with you in all that we're doing in this region. And I am here really to just share a little bit of my heart with you, and how and why we really came into this thing where we're doing this mission. And many of you who were on the mission last year, you were enthused and excited. And yet there was a sense perhaps of, oh, we haven't seen as much as we would like to see from the fruit of the mission. So I had no answers to give any of the churches when we talked about that, until I went and I sought the Lord. And when He did, I'm just going to say what I was going to say in conclusion now. When He showed me why we were doing this, instead of going out once a month, I now make a point of going out every week, because what He said moved me beyond measure. And the first question is, why missions? And it's the reason is absolutely simple. Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And it's because God loves the world. That's the reason. Why this way of doing things? That is something that is very interesting to consider. And the reason for that is simply because the Holy Spirit is on it. Whether we like to accept it or not, or believe it or not, more come to Christ in this ministry than through any other ministry in the United Kingdom that is about mission. And I'm just somebody who, I need answers the whole time. I don't know if you're like me, but I need answers all the time. And I went to the Lord and I simply said to him, look, I got to have a reason. I have to have a reason. And this is the revelation that he gave me that literally broke my heart. He says that it's the only way that the church is going to reach the unreachable. That was what he showed me. You see, the thing is that when we are in the context of where we live and so forth, we have this little pool of people and that's it. But there are a whole lot more out there who are lost, who are lonely, who are broken, and who have never, never, ever, ever even understood who Jesus is. And the reason for that, and this really hurts to even say, but we have become, as a nation, godless. Whether we like to accept it or not, that's what happened. Very rarely is Christianity taught in schools. There's a whole generation of people who are growing up, and all they know about is most of them, it seems to me, are fatherless or motherless. Broken families who do not know the hope of Jesus. And they go out and they're into drugs, they're into drinking, they're into all that sort of thing. And they have no hope. And they're all people who have been neglected and they're lonely and they're hurting and they have no one to share with them the truth of Jesus. We can't reach these people because they're people who will never come near a church fun day, who will never come near a coffee morning. No matter how welcoming we are, they can't be reached. They can't be reached. They're the ones that when you read about a stabbing, could well be that person. They're the ones with an overdose of drug addiction, lying in some drain or ditch somewhere. Those are the people that God loved. And the only answer he has is his church. That's all. It's you and I. There's no one else to share that message. And the Lord came because he is not willing that any should perish. Any. That's everybody. The ones that we even cross the road because we don't want to bump into them. So why the streets? Well, that's the first reason. And why the way we preach, those three simple scriptures, and if I forget them, Ian, you have to prompt me. It's this one, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say, hope, yes? Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In three verses, you have given the eternal, the living gospel to someone, and that seed of the word of God is planted in the house. And the word of God, as you well know, is eternal. It cannot die. It cannot die. It is living and powerful and active. But what does happen is because these people, it might not be their time, it might not be for us to make them disciples, might not choose at that moment to do something about it. But it is there and the Holy Spirit is on it. And when the moment comes, perhaps, when they need to cry out, when life becomes impossibly difficult, you and I have hope. And they would, through you, the blessing of you obeying the Great Commission, are able to remember, because the Holy Spirit is there to prompt them. Because you gave the word. You put yourself out. In the face of what the enemy wants to do, which is to discourage us, to stop us. I hate it, frankly, going out, if you really must know. It freaks me out. But every time someone says yes, it is so, so amazing. And this happened to me, in fact, sometime last week, but the postman, he came to deliver a parcel. And I just started to chat to him, and then I shared, and he wanted to receive Jesus. Do you know, for that whole day, I was dancing and joyful, because all of heaven was rejoicing with me. Did he give me any details? No. Did he want to come to church? No. But that word is now in Darren, and it is living and active, and when Darren needs it, it's there. It's there because you and I, despite how we feel, have gone out and given that message. So simple. So challenging. Who do you think is responsible for the challengings of fear of rejection, fear of going out, all that sort of thing? Who is responsible for that? Is it not the enemy? Does he not want to sow tares in his church to stop them from going out? And there's one other thing that I feel this is also about, but before I go there, I want to share some scriptures with you. Romans 10, 14 to 15. This is the reason. They don't know these people. There's nobody to tell them about it. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? You've got to know how to do it. And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Yes, we are called to make disciples, not converts. But it never says when those disciples should come to fruition, does it? And yet I want to point something out about the church and the prayer of John 17, where Jesus prays for the church, and even now that prayer is not answered. Ian, will you give me a thumbs down if I'm going on for too long? Okay. The answer lies in the Jesus prayer. This is how we begin to get disciples. This is in the macro. This is in the enormity of what I'm going to share next. John 17, 21. Jesus praying, not answered yet, that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. That's the big phrase. Until the church comes in true unity, much more than what we're doing now, much more without any of these preconceptions of what you and I are like, without looking at the way we worship or the way we do things or the way we pray. I mean, I get really intimidated when all these guys are praying loudly. I just can't do that. I get a headache. I don't know about you. But I'm sure to the Lord my prayers are just as valuable, don't you? And I'm not very good at great words and making a prayer sound amazingly fantastic. I get very nervous when I'm asked to lead prayers from the front. I really mean that. But the point is, the Lord looks at the heart, just as he looked at your heart this morning. And we just need to learn to come together, because it says that the world will then believe that Jesus is the one who was sent, doesn't it? Then they'll come in spontaneously. I'm not making this up. This is the word of God. We need to set aside all differences. We need to understand that at the foot of the cross, we are all children of God. Let us not be separated by doctrinal differences. Let us just gather round a loving Father in heaven through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that is when we'll see, we'll truly see that revival that I know your hearts are longing for and my heart is aching for. That is the prayer we need to see answered, the Jesus prayer for his disciples. And we will see it. And the third thing that I want to share with you this morning is about our hearts. Many people want to see revival. Many people want to see, wouldn't you like to see this church full of people, young and old? Those in their 90s and 100s even, and children flying around the place. Isn't that how church is meant to be? Yeah? And we can have that. If we understand the heart change for the people of promise. The people of promise have had the promise fulfilled in Jesus Christ. You agree with me on that? Yes, it's all there for us. The true fulfillment of everything that he has caused us to become and given us. But you see, there is one analogy I want to make before I leave you this morning. Most Christians want to see great things. Most Christians want to see hundreds come to the Lord. Every Christian wants to believe that there is a special place for them in the kingdom where they are significant. Not self-important, but significant, because that's our DNA. God can do it all sovereignly, but he's chosen to partner with us. Prayer obviously is the key, but there's something else. Do you remember the taking of the promised land? Yeah? What happened at the taking of the promised land? First of all, there's a promise of the land being given to them. Did they have the land? It was just a promise, wasn't it? God said they could have it. Yes? And then in Numbers 13:33, I've abbreviated it. I normally read the whole lot of that story, but I'm believing that as a Bible-believing, strong Baptist church, you know the story of the 12 spies. Amen? You do? Yes? But what happened when they came back? This is what they said. Then we saw giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. So were we in their sight. Will there be challenges in taking our promised land? I just want you to remember something. When the Israelites were in the desert, every one of their needs were met, weren't they? Their shoes didn't wear out. Every day they had food, just enough, manna. Didn't they? As soon as they crossed into the promised land, what happened? The manna stopped. They were told that they were going into a land of milk and honey. But they had to go and use their faith in God and the courage of that spirit that knows who their God is to go and take it. And I remember a song, we used to sing this in the 90s. He is the Lord and he reigns on high. And there's some scriptures there. It's just come to me. This is not part of my sermon, and I pray I remember the words, because I'm not very good at these punchline things, but I'll try. The gospel, O Lord, is the hope of the nation. Yeah, it's the power of God unto salvation. And then it goes on to say the Christian heart, this shows. We ask not for riches, but look to the cross. And for our inheritance, give us the lost. The lost are our inheritance, the song tells us. The lost are Jesus' inheritance. That's what he came for. No matter if we don't get any great teaching in the church, no matter we don't have I don't know, whatever it is that church is meant to be, the one thing you know for sure, sat here because you love and know the Lord Jesus Christ, is that eternal life is yours. And irrespective of anything that happens here on earth, you are going to heaven. That's what Jesus came for. He came for a lot more than that. But that is the very, very, very basic thing that he came for, that he could be with you forever and you could be with him. And when we ask for the lost, we are asking with Jesus' heart. Is it going to be easy? Because that is our inheritance. The Israelites had to go out and they had to get and fight for their inheritance. So my question to you is it worth the fight against, if you're like me, the fear of rejection, fear of going out, fear of this, fear of that? And I have to tell myself, as long as I have two legs and two arms, I must do this. As long as I have breath in my breath, I must do this. I didn't know how to preach the gospel until the turning. I've been a pastor for goodness knows how many years. But frankly, I didn't know how to do it so succinctly. Now I can, and I will. No matter what it costs me, I will. And I hope you join me. And I know the heart of your leader here. I don't know if you can see it, but this man here and his wife have an apostolic anointing on them, which means that their ministry is beyond the church. But if they have it, you have it too. Otherwise, God wouldn't have sent him. Because Esther and Ian are a gift of Christ to you. They are here because God sent them. Because God knew that your hearts were ready to receive the man and the woman of God to lead you into the glorious hope that he has for this church. To see the fulfillment of great things that need to happen through you walking with him. Now, they can be here and they can fight their way through things and nothing will happen because they will get tired and they will get discouraged. Maybe not. Bless you. More of a man than I am. Well, much more of a man than I am. But you know what I'm saying. But they need you. And the analogy I have for that is, do you remember when Moses was fighting the Amalekites? Moses was a great man of God, wasn't he? But he got tired. And they found him a stone, it says. And then Aaron, and every time Moses stopped praying and put his hands down, the Israelites lost the battle. Every time he raised his hands up. But he couldn't keep them up because he was exhausted. But Aaron and Hur came and held Moses' hands up. Your leaders are young, they have a lot of strength, they have vigor, they have anointing, they have power, they have grace, they have love, but they can't sustain it without you. There's a vision for this church. There's a vision that Ian has that I know goes beyond what we see in these four walls. There's an anointing and a promise of an outpouring such as you have never seen. But until we become aligned to God's heart, aligned to the heart of the man and woman of God who's sent here, it's going to be hard for that promise to be realized. But you have it in you. Otherwise, God would not have sent them to you. And not one of you, please. I notice there's a lot of wisdom in this church. How do I know that? Because there are a lot of gray-headed people here. You're not done yet. And if you think you are, at what age did Caleb get his inheritance? Can you remember? What age did Caleb get his inheritance? 85. Come on, guys. Yeah? I'm not far behind you. I just know how to use a bottle. Okay? So, I'm being real with you now. I feel I can be really real in this church. So I just want to say, nobody here is going to be left out if you're willing to come forward and say, yes, I'm here to serve, to support, to do all that my leader calls me to do and to support him in every way I can. There are two of them here. You're richly blessed. It's like going to Tesco's, buy one, get one free. Okay? So you've got double portion of anointing with these guys, and they are incredibly precious. Don't you just love them with all your hearts? Don't you just love them? The best way of showing that love is to say, we will walk with you wherever you take us. We will walk with you wherever you take us, because we know the Lord's hand is upon you. And I had a picture when I was, in fact, I had a picture before Ian said I could come. By the way, I invited myself. Okay. And in this picture, it was like we were having a little prayer meeting or something. I can't remember what it was. But I just saw this picture of Ian and Esther just being surrounded by the people of God in this church, which is all of you, with the deacon standing beside him and the rest of you surrounding him. And because I am really, really believe that when God gives us those things and we enact it prophetically, so we do the actions as an act of faith, these things, it's like a prophetic declaration into the spirit realm. And this is what we're going to say. This church, I truly believe, has got great things yet to come because we have a great leader and we are behind him. So can I be daring? Will you indulge me? Please. Otherwise, I'm going to look like I'm going to suck up, down here, aren't I, up here? So you will, won't you? So I'd like to ask Ian to come up. I mean, I think Esther's busy with the babies, aren't they? But will you come up? Are there any deacons here? Must be at least 2, 3, 4. Wonderful. Yay! Come and just surround him. Just surround him. Make a circle around him. Are there any people here who love Jesus? Come on then. Are there any people here who love the church? Come on then. Come on. Come on. Come on up. Come on. Come on. This is about you. I know you're going to say, oh, I hate this. But I tell you something. It'll do something to your heart. I promise you. Oh, my goodness me. Just uncircle them. Yeah. 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 Will you, dear ladies, stretch your hands out? No, of course. Stretch your hands out. Yeah. Come on. Come on. Yes, this is such an honor. Just one more step, one more. Can you do that? That's perfect. Thank you. So move this way. Now, look around. This is the beginning of something amazing. Because what you have done in these moments, even now, without saying anything, is you have honored your leaders. Just that very act breaks something in the heavenly realms. And you have acknowledged the gift that God has placed among you. You're going to be a strong woman. You know, you are so strong, lady. I don't know your name. Because you are a prayer warrior. And Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, as a minister of God and as a lover of your heart, I decree and declare that this church is a church of power, a church of grace, a church where your Holy Spirit can come and be inhabit fully. And for everyone here, I pray, Father, that they know what they're carrying and they say together as one, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. And we will serve you, Lord, as we serve our leader. And we will serve you, Lord, because our hearts are sold out to you and sold out to the great commandment and the great commission. Lord, may this church truly be significant in this region and in this area. And many will say truly they love Jesus and truly he is the Son of God. Because of what we see here. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I bless this dear lady, this beautiful woman of God, stood here between us. And I say to you, may the Spirit of God, the Lord, dwell in you. May the Spirit of the Lord just bless you with visions and dreams of things that are yet to come and things that have been. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Give yourselves a hand. Come on. Do you know when you do that, you're giving Jesus a hand because he lives in you? Hallelujah. Bless you all. Thank you for being so lovely to me this morning and my slightly crazy ways. I have tried to restrain myself, but bless you all. Bless you.